Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish on Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. And today, we're going to break down, you know, the last week's win against Purdue. And then we're going to get into this week's huge matchup at Soldier Field against the Wisconsin Badgers. I brought on fellow On Tap contributor, Duke Coughlin. He's going to be waiting in the whims for when I'm done shooting my shit about Purdue. To come talk about the matchup this weekend. He's our local Kankakee resident. He's not actually from Kankakee, but he lives in Milwaukee. That's just what we call it. Bears on tap, we call it Kankakee, so that's unfortunate. But that's our Wisconsin correspondent here at On Tap Sportsnet. But before we get into everything with Duke, this past weekend, Notre Dame against Purdue, battle for the Shillelagh Trophy, a game that, you know, like I said, Notre Dame, I think they had won like the last six, either it was like six in a row or maybe even more, but they hadn't played in a few years, so it was going to be interesting to see. And then obviously Jack Plummer, who has played phenomenally this season so far, you didn't know what you're going to get. They actually pulled him late in the game, but Notre Dame's defense actually showed up. I said I didn't want to see them give up, you know, I said 21 points was like the absolute most I would be willing to accept. They only gave up 13. Of course, like a Jagoff, I'm like, I'm not going to take their spread because they haven't covered spread all year. Take their team total. They cover the spread. The team total does not hit. Luckily, I had them in some like shitbox parlay with like Cincinnati and some other team where I was able to enjoy the victory with a little bit of a profit. But the team needs to really get into the rhythm that we're accustomed to seeing. The offensive line play hasn't been great. Defensively, first great performance last week. But this week, the test that they have ahead of them in Wisconsin is going to be tough, hard-nosed football. That's a team that knows their identity. They play hard defense. They're going to run the football. And they know what they want to do. And you know, it's a neutral site game, so you don't really know what you're going to get. It was originally supposed to be at Lambeau Field last year, up in Wisconsin, but obviously because of the COVID pandemic, the game was canceled or postponed, if you will, because only conference play was allowed last year. So this Saturday, 11 a.m. at Soldier Field, kind of like the meeting place between the two spots. If you look at Madison and if you look at South Bend, it's kind of smack dab in the middle. And a great opportunity. It's the Shamrock Series game. So obviously that game wasn't played last year. They're going to be wearing some slightly different jerseys. Like, I don't know, they're not really too different. I think there's a little bit of difference in the sleeves. But, and I can imagine too that what Wisconsin will probably be coming out in some wild uniforms too. We'll get some confirmation on that from Duke. But yeah, I don't have too much to say about the Purdue game. You find a way to win a football game. You go 1-0. We know that the toughest part of this schedule is going to be North Carolina, Cincinnati, and Wisconsin. If you can beat those three teams, anything is possible for this team. The sky is the limit. And this year has been nothing but chaos in college football. But without further ado, let's welcome to the show On Tap Sportsnet contributor. Find him at Bears On Tap. Find him a little bit over there with Sox On Tap. Kind of doing a lot of different things. But my friend Duke Coughlin, and resident Wisconsin guy and Wisconsin Badger fan, Payne.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a jack of all trades, as you could say. I do got to correct you though. I don't live in Milwaukee. I live in Madison, so I'm right.
Oh,
here.
So you're right there. Okay, then yeah. I don't know where the hell we got Kankakee. We're just that much of jackals, I guess you would say.
Yeah. You and Lucas just hate me, I'm pretty sure. But I can definitely feel up here in Madison just kind of the vibe of the entire fan base going into this game. This is definitely a game a lot of people up here were excited about last year. Obviously, me being a Bears fan, I'm pretty excited that it's not at Lambeau Field. I would much rather prefer almost like the neutral spot at Soldier Field. You know, could be a potential 50-50 kind of situation in the crowd. We'll have to see how it all looks out there. But yeah, man, I'm really excited for the matchup.
Wisconsin might get allotted more tickets because it was originally going to be like more of a home game for them, I think, if that makes sense. But yeah. Notre Dame's huge in Chicago, and so is Wisconsin and just the Big Ten in general.
Yeah, no, I know quite a few season ticket holders, and student sections or kind of like student section holders. They got a lot of first priority, although it was kind of all over the place. Like some people would get 400 level, some people would get 100 level, and there was really no method to the madness. It was Soldier Field who was actually given the power to decide who goes and whatnot.
Box Soldier Field, are you going?
No, I okay. I thought about going, but probably just isn't the best idea. I'm actually going out tomorrow with a bunch of my coworkers, and I'm probably going to be wasted. So
I'm waking up first thing in the morning with like a freaking meat lover skillet, and if you don't have to work, maybe some breakfast beers. Doesn't sound too terrible, but yeah, like I'll be at the NIU game at 1:30, but the Hulu is going to be fully queued up. We're playing Maine, like for NIU, but I am like way too amped about this game. I think that Notre Dame really needs the type of game that if you fuck up, you're going to actually lose, because they've been so close two out of the three games that they've played. One against Toledo, which should never happen. That's a pay-to-play game. You know what I'm saying? Like, that should never happen in Notre Dame. But Wisconsin, I think, is somewhat similar in identity, because we do like to run the football. We want to run the football. We want to find ways to get our running backs in space because we have talented running backs. But the problem is we lost four of our offensive linemen to the NFL draft. And the one that stayed back, he ain't going in the first round, and he ain't going the second or third. Like, if he gets drafted, it'll be a later on draft pick in Jarrett Patterson. So you add Kane Madden from Marshall. Blake Fisher goes down in week one. I'm pretty sure he's done for the season. Unfortunate things have happened, but Wisconsin is going to line up in double tight end personnel. They love the fullback. They use fullbacks. Right? Am I correct? Like, they love the fuck out of some fullbacks, just like
Absolutely. I remember the days of Derek Watt, actually one of the younger Watt brothers. He was a great fullback up here at Wisconsin.
Yeah, and they're going to try and be opportunistic in the passing game. They're going to try and hit their spots. They're not going to be airing it out. Graham Mertz probably won't, like, 25 is max, I think, for pass attempts, and that's like if they're losing late and he's just got to start slinging it. But where it gets interesting for me, and here is where I want your opinion, because we've only seen Jack Cohn for three games. And to be honest, like, he hasn't been a world beater. He hasn't been the best quarterback in the world, but he has exceeded expectations. I think his deep ball is a lot better than people give him credit for. And I just think he's been able to find ways to win football games regardless of Toledo, Florida. Like, it doesn't matter. You play who's on your schedule, as long as you win, you're good. But the kid, like, dislocated his freaking finger, comes in and throws the game-winning touchdown. Like, you can't coach that. And from what I saw, maybe I'm just falling in love with week one. Like, this is his first real test, and it's a revenge game against his former team. What are you seeing from him this year that you haven't seen from him? Like, what? Because he wasn't great at Wisconsin. He definitely wasn't great.
Well, he's definitely been given a lot more of an opportunity to kind of throw the deep ball, to kind of air it out a little bit more at Notre Dame. I will say, even with him transferring, Paul Chryst, the Badgers head coach, has always been super high on Jack Cohn. So it definitely wasn't something that we necessarily, you know, we didn't necessarily want to lose him. It wasn't something like we wanted to force him out, or he was so bad at Wisconsin that he was kind of forced out. It's just, that's kind of how highly everyone feels about a guy like Graham Mertz, who people forget is only a redshirt sophomore. But yeah, you know, I think he kind of nailed it on the head. He's not a world beater, and he's never going to be. He's going to need support around him, but he is definitely a good enough quarterback to get the job done if he has enough complementary football around him. He needs a defense that kind of stays stout. He needs blocking. He needs the right scheme. Interesting enough, he actually looked really well against Ohio State. I believe it was 2 years ago, running the football, like as a runner. I believe he dashed him twice for about 30, like two 30 yard runs, just by design quarterback run. So he's a guy who can move it as well. But like you said, like, there's nothing that kind of, you know, that kind of raises the bar with a guy like Jack Cohn, but he's a guy who, you know, he's never out of a football game. He'll make the pass he needs to make, and as long as he doesn't make mistakes, he's solid, man. He is definition. You go look in a dictionary, you see a picture of Jack Cohn by the word solid.
Yeah, and I think with the situation where he ends up coming to Notre Dame, we were screwed. Ian Book has been our quarterback for the last 4 years, and we didn't really know which way to look. We didn't know which way was up. We've only known Ian Book for a while. And we have young quarterbacks that are waiting in the wings, but no one that's proven. Drew Pine has played like mop-up duty in games. And Tyler Buchner, if, I don't even know how to pronounce it because he's never on the broadcast, but he just hasn't been in. But it's either Buchner or Buchner.
I'm pretty sure it's Buchner.
Yeah, Buchner from California, who's going to be the next great Notre Dame quarterback from everything that I've read. But Graham Mertz, week one, 37 passes. But that was just a weird game against Penn State. That was just a really weird game. They end up losing that game. Penn State looks like they could be favorites in the Big Ten. And then you guys just go and shit pump Eastern Michigan, which – I hope to say after next Saturday that NIU can do the same. But overall, they haven't really – like, they had a bye week, which there are five opponents on Notre Dame's schedule that have a bye week before they play Notre Dame, which I just absolutely hate. But for us, what – like, outside of the fact that, you're just going to ground and pound, what else should Notre Dame fans, like, be looking out for from this offense, and then to shine some light on that stellar defense, because they've only given up 23 points in two games, so it's 11.5 points a game.
Yeah, so I know you're talking about kind of the Penn State game being a bit of a weird one, and I sat and watched that entire game, and there was a lot of head scratching decisions, both the play calling and the decision making from Graham Mertz. And that's kind of what makes it so frustrating about him, is because there are points in games where he shows how talented he is. Like, you could say whatever you want about Graham Mertz, that he has not lived up to expectations early on, or he never built off the Illinois game last year. The talent is there. Like, there is talent there. I think his biggest problem is he doesn't take the checkdowns. He doesn't take the easy throws like often enough. He wants to do too much. Like, he's that quarterback that on third and 16 is trying to throw 17 yards for that first down instead of throwing like 8 yards to, get a guy in space and try to make a play. And that's where I really think, as a Badgers fan, the bye week is really going to really benefit him. And there is a good chance that Wisconsin kind of sets the tone through the air early. You know, they're going to want to run the ball, obviously, with Chez Malusi. He's a guy who transferred over in from Clemson. One hell of a running back. He has proven just downhill runner. Does, as long as he hits a gap, that's a solid 4 to 5 yards every time. You can also break him off for about 25, 30 yards at a time as well. But if the passing game does get going, you have to look out for some of these playmakers on the Wisconsin offense. And Danny Davis, Kendrick Pryor, and most importantly, their tight end Jake Ferguson, who over the course of his career in Wisconsin has been insanely impressive at tight end. So that's really kind of where that's going to be at. Getting pressure on Graham Mertz is going to be Notre Dame's best shot. And being able to stop the run and force Wisconsin to pass. Because if Wisconsin starts getting into a situation where they can go to play action, or they can start attacking down the field because you guys are loading the box, it could go either way. Either Graham Mertz could go off like he did against Illinois, or he could look really bad like he did against Penn State. I don't want to take anything away from Penn State, though. Penn State honestly looks like they could be a legitimate team to win the Big Ten. I want that to kind of be noted. And that was still a pretty tight game, so – there is that. And honestly, what kept that game tight was the defense, going over to the other side of the football. We're big up front. Keanu Benton, Janesville Craig graduate. He is a whole lot of man. Let me tell you, he's a guy who's stuffing plays up the middle, very big in the run game. You have a guy, Jack Sanborn, who is returning. He's a senior, just kind of picking up, where the last guy left off at linebacker. You know, it seems like Wisconsin always kind of has that great middle linebacker. He reminds me a lot of a guy like Chris Borland, who is, I believe he was a second round pick a few years ago, or quite a couple years ago with the 49ers.
The guy that retired really early. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was a stud, and he was even a stud in the NFL for when he did play. And then really on the pass rushing side of things, Noah Burks. He's a guy who has kind of been pushing the needle for a couple of years now. Hasn't quite gotten the name recognition because there have been some pretty good pass rushers who have come out of Wisconsin in the past 5 years specifically. But he's a guy that if you don't pay enough attention to, if you don't double team, if you don't chip, he can really quickly ruin your day. And then when it comes to the secondary, you know, we got four seniors starting across the secondary. You know, we got Fayon Hicks, we got Colin Wilder, we got Caesar Williams, but most importantly, and I was telling you about him before the show, we have Scott Nelson, who I believe is a 3 to 4 year starter, who there is a lot of whispers early on in the college football season that he could be a second to third round pick, if not even sneaking into the first round. He's a guy that Jim Leonard, who was a, I believe Jim Leonard was a first round pick safety back in the day, second or third. But Jim Leonard, defense coordinator for the Badgers, is incredibly high on Scott Nelson. Scott Nelson has been awesome to watch as a Badgers fan. And it's the biggest reason why this should be concerning to Notre Dame and the biggest reason why Wisconsin is about, what, a 6.5 favorite right now. So the biggest thing that kind of jumps out there is this defense knows Jack Cohn. They practice against him. You know what I mean? It's as simple as that. And with how good this defense is, you know, perhaps if you're a fan of like Notre Dame or a team outside of the Big Ten, you might not know how good this defense really is. You know, Jim Leonard has built quite the squad. Jim Leonard has gotten head coaching offers. There have been murmurs of him potentially moving up to the NFL ranks and being a defense coordinator up there. And the results speak for themselves. This is constantly a top 5 to top 10 to top 15 unit in all of college football. They're a defense that has given teams like Ohio State a lot of problems. Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan, Penn State. You know, Penn State, even with as good as their offense is this year, look what they did against them in week one. And that'll pop off on film. So, yeah, you know, kind of putting this all together, there is a lot of talent on this team. The offense is going to depend on which Graham Mertz shows up today or shows up on Saturday, and the defense is going to show up. You know, that's the best way you can put it, because until the defense doesn't, it's hard to say that they won't. And the past 3-4 years, it's just been every single game this defense has kept this team in every game.
Yeah, and I think, like, our offense has shown flashes this year. There's been a lot of big play abilities, like big plays have been made. They need to find consistency, and the same thing with the defense. Like, I'm not too worried about the box. Like, we have good players in our front seven. Like, it's going to be a war in the front seven on both sides of the football, whether you're a Notre Dame fan or a Wisconsin fan. But I'm not too worried about, like, Graham Mertz, if it has to like come down to Graham Mertz beating us, as I guess what I'll say, like if we get up and you're not allowed to, you're not allowed, but you know, you go out of the game plan, you start to have to beat us with Graham Mertz in his arm, even though our secondary isn't great, I feel that he's young enough and he makes those mistakes, especially in these tight, like slobber knocker, white knuckler games. Like, I think this could be a pretty low scoring game. Like, I don't think it'll be too high scoring, but if Notre Dame wants to win this game, that's their best. I think that's their best route, is to try and just put up as many, like, as dumb and cliche as that sounds. And that's probably like a Magic Johnson tweet. Like, they need to legitimately try to get like 31 points, because I just don't think Wisconsin can match that.
Yeah, and I guess kind of another
fact. We are not Eastern Michigan, okay?
Yeah, no.
We aren't great, but we are not Eastern Michigan.
No, and I feel like the quarterback over at Penn State will tell you guys the same thing. Just don't make mistakes. Do not give the Wisconsin defense a chance to have an impact on this game. Like, minimize your mistakes, run the football effectively, have Jack Cohn make those easy 5-yard passes. Like, that is my best advice to you, because if you start trying to take shots with Jack Cohn against this defense, you're gonna get burned. If you try having him hold the ball too long, you know, in like 5-7 step drops, the rush is gonna get to him, whether it's Benton, whether it's Isaiah Mullins, whether it's Nick Heiberg, like, they're gonna get to him, you know. So I'd say that's Notre Dame's best bet. Run an efficient offense, control the flow of the game, keep the Wisconsin offense off the field, because if, say, Graham Mertz doesn't look great, you know, we're going to start feeding a guy like Chez Malusi. We're going to start feeding Isaac Guerrero. We're going to start feeding Jalen Berger, who's a redshirt freshman who looked like he could be a potential star within the next year or two. If he gets the opportunity, I'm really high on Jalen Berger. So yeah, that's don't give Wisconsin a shot. Like me speaking as a Wisconsin fan, don't give Wisconsin a shot to take over this game because they very well could. As you know, as a Bears fan, Brandon, defense sets the tone, baby. Like yeah. That's where it all starts.
Yeah, and I mean, we have fumbling issues. Our backs have fumbled the ball this season. Kyron Williams has fumbled the ball, and I can only imagine there's going to be some turnovers. Some turnovers are going to be big in this game, especially where points will be at a premium. I didn't even look to see like what the over-under is. I think it's like 46, which for a college football game is not a lot of points, especially considering like if you have the under – Like take for example, I had App State today, and they ran a walk-in touchdown to put the game up by 8, and the kid fucking falls on the ground. Jesus, like you can't make that type of stuff. I was watching it when it happened, and like I'm sitting there, and in my gambling brain, I'm like, all right, Marshall, I'm a Marshall fan for the next 3 plays. Like, let's push someone out of bounds and stop the clock. Like. Make them kick a field goal. Make them kick a field goal, goddammit. And, yeah, it didn't happen. And then the kid falls down on the one-yard line, which I had one last year, which I guess this is just like the betting karma where the defense carried the guy into the end zone. Defense didn't have that in them this week. But, yeah, Notre Dame is +6.5, and they are +198 on the money line, which I have already responsibly wagered just because that's who I am. And – I will go down with the ship if the ship does go down. But I have a really good feeling about this game, and I have a good feeling about this spot. Notre Dame, over the past, like in the past, has usually covered spreads when they're underdogs. I can't say the same about when they're favorites. But I think this is like a game that if it's a low-scoring game, it plays into the type of game that Wisconsin wants, and it gives Wisconsin a better advantage because – let's be honest, the defense for Wisconsin is bad. I think this is what it comes down to. The defense for your team is better. The offense is better on our team. Special teams is going to be huge. Our kicker is nails. Jonathan Dewar is a great kicker. And Jay Bramlett's a pretty good punter. Maybe we'll get some returns. Like a kick return for either side would be huge in this game. And big returns. I'm tired of freaking watching college football week in and week out. And no one's taking the ball out anymore. We have a goddamn All-American at NIU, and I watch him fair catch it every week. And it's not his choice, but we see some of the same at Notre Dame. We see some of the same on, like, that random game that you have on in the morning, like the random Big Ten game that's on at 11. Like, there's just not enough kick returns. And I feel like, as we were just talking about Devin Hester last night, like, a kick return is a lot more likely to happen in a college game than it is in the NFL. Call a spade a spade. And at the very least, they're great for flipping the field. So I would like to see us to unleash the guys that we have deep, like Chris Tyree, or if they put Braden Lindsey back there. Like, it shouldn't be one of those games where we get beaten in the third phase. Like, it's going to offset with our offense being better, your defense being better. Special teams will be important. Missed field goals will be huge. And for everything that's holy, keep the ball in bounds on the kickoff. No short fields.
Yeah, so I didn't realize we were going to jump into special teams, but I do have to give a shout-out to Colin Larsh, our kicker. He has been pretty damn solid his entire career up here. Pretty sure he hit a nice 52-yarder against Penn State. He had a pretty long one. I think that spread, honestly, is a pretty decent one.
It should be more like 3 points.
I really think
they're pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, I think they're playing up the Jack Cohn thing. I really think that's the number one thing, just because Jack Cohn practiced against this defense, which honestly could be seen as a benefit for him as well.
Yeah,
but I feel like it plays well.
He's smart enough to use it to his advantage, you know?
Yeah, but Yeah, no, I'm with you on the whole kick return thing too. You know, that's one thing I do like about Wisconsin. They're pretty good about kind of sending out the younger players on the roster for the kicks and punt returns. Just usually the best athlete, you know, freshman or sophomore.
Some people that like, yo, if he gets blown up, we don't have to worry about him on like third and 10 when we need a reception. Like,
like that guy we recruited that ran a 4.32, but he can't catch anything. You know what I mean?
Brian Kelly is a jag in the sense that he uses like regular starters for his return. I don't understand it. But.
Yeah, I remember when Brett Bielema was our head coach years ago, and he used to use Jared Aberderis as our punt returner, and that used to drive me fucking insane because he was like far and away our best wide receiver.
He played for the Packers, didn't he?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, that guy was born to play for the Packers. He probably owns like a car dealership in some suburban town in Wisconsin because that guy.
He had to have been from
Wisconsin too. I promise you, he had.
I'm pretty sure I have Jared Aberderis on Facebook, so I mean, I could probably look that up after this.
Oh yeah, that dude's slinging some cars. He's got his own business for sure because fucking Jared Aberderis. I don't
know how to say it. Dude, he's
Jared Jardinero. That's
Jardinero. No, dude, he was a freaking stud at Wisconsin, man. He was one of my favorite wide receivers. Him and like I actually had Jonathan Orr on my podcast a couple years ago. He was like one of my favorite wide receivers as a kid, man. He was awesome too. He played for the Titans for like a quick minute, but
a little cup of coffee.
What?
So a little cup of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, hey, he got drafted in the sixth round, and I mean he hung around for a camp. He actually
It's an uphill battle when you get drafted that late, you know.
He was there when Jeff Fisher was still there, and that was the time when they drafted Vince Young and Steve McNair was on the way out. So he got to see that entire situation play out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, again, bet responsibly. Like, the over-under is going to be close. I think it'll probably lean more towards the under, but that's just, like, such a – weird number that I just like don't even care. Like, I just want to find a way to win a football game on Saturday. But it's going to come down to us almost beating you at your game too, because if we can take time of possession is going to be huge as well. I don't know why I haven't talked about that yet, but the way you guys play offense, those are some milkers. Those are some long drives. Those are some drives where you had the ball for 5 to 7 minutes, and that's terrible for your defense. And for Notre Dame in this spot, they need to be able to match that same type of drive. Like, we're pretty good at being a quick strike offense, which is fine. If you score, you score. That's totally fine. I don't care. But the running game needs to get established early. And that's the only thing that I'm kind of scared about is Brian Kelly has, like, a history, especially in these, like, marquee matchups of just, like, dying by the run. And then, like, it's too late by, like, halftime to adjust. Like, you're already chasing at that point. I don't think Wisconsin is that good on offense to where we'll be chasing at. At any point, I'm going to say the max lead either side will be 14 points. There will not be a bigger lead on either side at any point during this game, including its conclusion. But, yeah, I'm a little worried that if you guys are just going to be able to just run it down our throat, then it could be a long day for Notre Dame, because then you'll be able to beat us both ways. Because, like, our secondary, not great, can possibly get the job done. A great opportunity for them, if I'm being honest, especially, like, noon kickoff, primetime game, everything you would ask for being a college athlete. But I'm just a little bit worried that the run game, and eventually, too, the run game will wear that defense down, no matter what. That's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I think he kind of hit on something there with talking about wanting to kind of control the clock, because that's exactly what we like to do. Jack Cohn has to hit his layups. It's as simple as that. He can't miss easy throws. He can't spend too much time in the pocket thinking about what he's going to do. He can't look at that second or third read too long before he pulls the trigger on something. You know, he has to either go throw the ball or something, because that's where the turnovers will come in. That's where you guys will get stagnant, because – like, I'm not trying to just, like, talk up my defense, but I think you guys are going to have a hell of a time trying to run the ball against us. That's just personally how I feel. I think what we've been really good at this year, especially with Penn State, was kind of trying to force them to throw the football to beat us. And that's kind of where our secondary, being full of seniors, kind of plays well into our advantage. Because we do have some playmakers back there. I really like Caesar Williams. I don't know if I really brought him up, but he's a really good corner for us. So that's kind of where, you know, that gives our defense a chance to kind of pin their tails back and just kind of pass rush as well. So if you guys can establish the run, that's going to be your best bet. I just really think they're going to kind of load up on that. I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Kelly started off the first drive with like a play action, kind of trying to take a shot early to kind of set the tone there and keep the defense loose and kind of keep the defense on the edge of their feet. But yeah, Jack Cohn has hit the layups. It's as simple as that. He has to make the throws. Like, he needs to have an efficient day. That's going to be big for us. But I'm kind of siding with you. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring affair. I don't know if you do score predictions on this show or whatever, but I'm kind of thinking it'll be around like the 24-20 range with these two teams. I could see field goals definitely playing a part. I really wouldn't be surprised even if there was like a safety at some point. Like, that's just the type of game that I feel like is going
to be. It's a battle between two Midwest teams. There's going to be a safety at some point. Like, that's how the college football season started, was a safety in the Illinois-Nebraska game.
Well, that's Illinois and Nebraska, so I mean, that says a lot.
For fuck's sake, just the battle of the corn.
Oh my god, I think Scott Frost is like one of the biggest Jaguars in all college football.
Oh yeah, he's a terrible head coach.
He popped into Nebraska talking about how he wants to win a national championship within like 3 years, and just like he's just
shit
just falling on his face completely, dude.
Jesus, yeah. I think, so you said 24-20, Wisconsin, I'm assuming. All right, so that's probably right around where I would say it, but I'm going to go with, I'm going to go reverse line. I'm going to go 28-21 Notre Dame. I think, like you said, this is a game that will probably get shortened. I think it's a game that we might play in the year high school bullshit where you guys just run the ball all game and throw it 15 times. I don't know. I'm kind of worried that that's the type of game that it could be. And that means that turnovers
pull out the wing tee on you guys.
Yeah. Turnovers essentially count for double because the possessions are less. Like, Notre Dame likes to run a little bit of a higher tempo offense. So gonna need as many points as you can get. Field goals, those work fine too. As long as it's not like a 4th-and-1 from like the 4 or 5 yard line, like that would be a different story. But I'm going to go, 28-21 Notre Dame. It's going to be a close game, but I ultimately think like we just have the athletes, we have the players, Coach Kelly and all the recruiting coaches and staff members have done a great job building this team. I know we're in a little bit of a transition phase, but I don't think I am ready to jump ship on 12-0.
Fair enough.
As jag off as that sounds. And at first I said Sam Howell would probably be the team that did it to us just because the way he slings it all over the yard and our secondary is not great. I have since retracted that statement and I'm all the way back in on a 12-0 season. Cincinnati hasn't looked great either. They've won every week, but last week they almost lost a really weird game against Indiana at Indiana. So I definitely think we're the best team in the state of Indiana for sure. For sure better than Indiana. We proved we're better than Purdue last week. Would absolutely eviscerate Ball State if we played them. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're probably could just be the best team in the Midwest this year because Ohio State stinks this year.
Yeah, Ohio State, you just hate to see it too, you know, like a team like Ohio State, just full underdogs, just yeah. Like, just you feel so bad for the state of Ohio right now.
Fucking losers, yeah.
I hate Ohio State so much.
I can't stand them, yeah. Like, I rooted for them last year because I like Justin Fields, and I just did not want to see Alabama win again because it's like, in college football, it's like how it was with like the Warriors when they had KD. It's like anyone but this team. I will root for anyone but this team. And now I think this year, like I said, it's very chaotic so far in college football. Ohio State has lost. You have to figure at some point during the season, someone's going to knock the Pac-12 team off and and Oregon. They'll eventually lose. I don't know what their schedule looks like. And then Big Ten, it's up for grabs. It could be Wisconsin. It could be Michigan. It could be Penn State. Ohio State could just come back out of nowhere because the game that they lost wasn't a conference game, but fuck them anyways because we hate Ohio. All my friends hate Ohio State. But and we hate Michigan too. I went to their stadium last weekend. Not a shit box, but it was cool to see the Big House in person last week.
Yeah, dude, that's even as me being a Wisconsin fan, I fucking hate Michigan with like all my being. But I mean, you can't deny a great stadium. That's like 100 plus. I believe they can get up
to there was 106,000 people the day that I went. And I think that, like, that's paid attendance. That doesn't even include, like, it's probably like 108,000 because there's no way there isn't over 1,000 people in that bitch working.
Yeah, no, dude, 100%. And that could have been I've seen capacities hit like 109, 110. Like, yeah. They can fit a lot of fucking people into that stadium. And, dude, I'm sure you could tell by the noise. I'm sure it was popping in there.
Yeah, and I think this week with it being a neutral site, kind of like smack dab in the middle, noise won't be as big of a factor. But if you're there and you listen to this show, be heard. That's all I got for you. Just be heard, be loud, and try and check and see if they have like water policies on bringing in water bottles, because you're for sure, you're going to be waiting in line, regardless of if you want a beer, Sprite, or a damn water. And bring cash and a card, too, because that place is just an absolute shit show. went there for a Bears preseason game, and it was not great. Missed, like, an entire quarter, and I would only assume that our lovely Chicago Bears have not fixed what's wrong in the shitbox of Soldier Field. And, two, we haven't touched on this at all. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. Terrible playing surface. Just would like to put that out there. Our team is a team that is reliant on speed. Look a lot faster on our nice turf. That could be neutralized on a really like just blah field. Like I'm not sold on that as a playing surface being great or top of the line.
Yeah, that's going to kill a lot of the speed. I think this is why like Wisconsin would benefit from just being a, you know, put your hand in the dirt and run the hell out of the football.
Just being an 84 in speed across the board.
Literally, you know, just Ron Day and that shit.
And Mertz runs the ball too a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, he can.
He's kind of big too. He's like 6'3", 6'2".
Listen, man, I know you've been trashing Mertz quite a bit. And, you know,
he sucks. Don't get it justifiable. Twisted.
Oh, come on.
He's terrible.
I had to listen to you talk about Jack Cohn. Like, get out of here.
For MVP, bro. They got the I'm telling you, man. From Ole Miss is the favorite right now.
He's red shirt, really?
Yeah. He's just been slinging, dude.
Yeah, well.
Ole Miss.
Rest in peace, fucking Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, well, Oklahoma's just – they can never get their whole team correct. And this year, I think they're just not great on offense and they're better on defense. Like usually it's the other way around. Usually their defense can't catch cold or stop anyone. This year, they haven't been able, like with the exception of whatever FCS school that they put up like 73 on, that shit doesn't count. Like they haven't played great against FBS teams.
Well, dude, they played a close game against Nebraska and I think Nebraska's dog shit.
Nebraska's terrible.
I don't think they're good at all.
I'm pretty sure they were like practicing during the pandemic. So I don't know what the hell they got going on over there. But they pretty sure I heard they were guilty of some sort of infractions during the time, like the dead period, I guess you would say.
What, Oklahoma?
No, Nebraska. Sure, Oklahoma. Yeah. Oklahoma's probably doing way worse.
Dude, I was going to say, Oklahoma's been sketchy for fucking years.
Yeah, they're definitely doing way worse stuff if we're being honest. But yeah, like, this year is pretty open in college football with Clemson already losing, obviously not in conference play again, but losses are losses, and there's only going to be a couple teams with that zero next to their name at the end of the season. And not to like look ahead, but it's imperative that if we have a zero next to our name, we need to make sure that, well, if we have a zero next to our name, it's because we beat Cincinnati. So you get what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to control what you can each week. And for Wisconsin, even if you guys lose, like, still not the end of the road. It is for college football playoff for sure. I don't think that's really like what their expectations were in Madison this year, was it? Maybe it was like New Year's Six Bowl.
It was so hard to say with what we saw last year with, COVID depleted that roving hell out of us.
I faded them. I bet against them like every opportunity.
And it was just hard to tell. I mean, we played Northwestern tough as hell last year. Like that was that was a grinding out tough ass
game. But Wisconsin should never be losing to Northwestern as much as I love my brother's school and the Wildcats. Like Wisconsin should be dominating Northwestern.
Yeah, no. I mean, Northwestern did have some dogs last year, but it was no excuse for our defense getting beat up the way they did against fucking Northwestern.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, obviously we're on different sides of the fucking coin here, but
no,
I just think it's going to be a tough game.
That's why I brought you on, because
I think if Wisconsin get the offense going, you know, and we do kind of like if. Even if we don't win like a primetime game, we're almost always in them. Honestly, the games we lose are the most frustrating games ever because we lose against the stupid.
No, I know. I love watching you guys lose. I bet on Penn State.
Penn State, though, that was at least a tight game. You know,
Penn State's another one of those teams where it's super weird where like they'll be really good one year and then like last year they were like terrible last year. Like, they only won like one game.
Well, dude, it's like the joke I always said is if they have a redheaded quarterback, there's a good chance they're going to be good. But if they have, like, anything but, they're going to suck ass. It's like, I swear to God, it's like, that's the entire thing with Penn State.
Christian Hackenberg, where you at?
Yeah, what was that other dude's name? He was, like, quarterback for the fucking Raiders for a while. Matt McGloin.
Loser. Was it Trace McSorley, too?
Oh, yeah.
They just have had, and Penn State traditionally is a running team, but... All right, so here, one final thing, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up. I like to, in addition of doing, like, predictions, I also like to, I guess you would say, like, pregame player of the games or, like, key players, I guess you would say. Pick one guy on offense and one guy on defense that, like, them having a good game is imperative to you guys if you want to win.
So for the Badgers, I guess I'll go easy with this. I think it'll have to be Jake Ferguson on offense. Tight end. He's kind of the guy that'll get a lot of our first downs through the air. He's really kind of a jump ball type guy.
Sit at the sticks guy.
He's got quite a bit
of line, turn around, boom.
He's got quite a bit of speed too, and he has great hands. He does have a little bit of affinity to fumble the football, but it's not that often. It's just often enough to notice, I guess, if you watch enough games.
Yeah.
And then on defense, man, I got to go with Jack Sanborn. I would not be surprised if he had 11 solo tackles by the end of the game. Like, he is a guy who is just over the fucking field. Yeah, he is by far, like, the captain of that defense. I mean, he is – and Wisconsin always has that guy. They always have, like, that one linebacker who is just fucking eating everything.
Wasn't that his name or is that his brother? Chris Borland and Tough Borland.
He was the one that went to Ohio State.
Oh, okay.
And then Chris.
But they're related, aren't they? That's just like such a Midwestern like lunch pail family. Like their dad still drives like a 1942 blue pickup truck that has like the fucking old school radio in it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah, dude, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Schobert's done a pretty good job in the NFL, kind of.
Helping
legitimize kind of the inside linebackers for Wisconsin.
He did really well with Cleveland. I liked him on Cleveland. I don't know if that's where he still is.
He's in Pittsburgh now.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's he's like starting out there.
That's a no disrespect to Cleveland, especially this week with Bears playing them, but. To be a defensive player to play for the Steelers hits different, if you know what I'm saying.
Like the
Steelers are one of those teams that traditionally just have great defense. And, shout out to Chase Claypool. He's been kind of a drag off since he got to the league, but we still love him. He was never really, like, the in-the-spotlight guy here. He was always, like, quiet, head down, do his job. And I think he's been hanging out with Juju too much, but – that's another story for a different day.
Yeah, it's very possible, dude. Juju's Juju's a TikTok star when he should be an NFL star, but
Juju's name should be Jag. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just so, like, he does way too much. But, oh, shout out to, since we're recording this on Thursday, Tommy Tremble, first career rushing touchdown. I logged on to the Bluebird and saw that a better put $200 on Tommy Tremble's score touchdown tonight, won $3,000. So, cannot confirm nor deny if that's someone that is probably Tommy Tremble's friend or some shit, because who the hell puts $200 on Tommy Tremble to score a touchdown? I mean, $200 is not that crazy, but yeah, what a hit, what a play, and it wasn't even a passing touchdown. I don't know if you saw the play, Duke. It was a rushing touchdown on an end around, so tight end to you.
Oh, wow. That's even like that's even more of a rare one for especially for a tight end.
Yeah, bro. Tight end you forever. For me, my key players offensively, I'm going to go offensive line again. I know it's not one player. I know usually it's got to be one player. But if that offensive line doesn't hold up for Jackie Boy and for Kyron and Chris Tyree, Jack Cohn's going to be getting eviscerated. We're going to – you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a defense that's going to punch you in the mouth. So you need to make sure that you protect the goods in the quarterback. There can't be too many long developing plays because that pass rush, like you said earlier in the episode, Duke, is going to be a factor. And our offensive line is not the best. So that's something that we need to keep an eye on, make sure the offensive line performs up to par. And on the defensive side of the ball, it should be no surprise. I'm going to go with Kyle Hamilton. He played a phenomenal game against Florida State, probably like player of the week performance. He's a guy that's going to be a first-round draft pick, probably towards the top 10. I would say top 5 if I'm being like as unhomer as possible, but the kid is an absolute stud. And it's not going to be his traditional role. It's going to be more of that like rover role where – he comes up in the box, he helps on run support, and he still does his thing in the passing game. So, like I said, offensive line and Kyle Hamilton. Duke's got it 24-20 at Wisconsin. I got 28-21 Notre Dame. Go ahead and tell the lovely people where you can be found at on the internet and then, you know, what kind of work you put out.
Well, you know, obviously, it's beat on to the top of the episode. On Twitter, you can find me at ThatPodGuyDuke. Obviously, I work it on tap. I cover the Bears, the Blackhawks, the White Sox, cover a little bit of everything. I'll even cover the Bulls if they need me to. Obviously, I'm a huge Wisconsin Badgers fan. I haven't really kind of put that out there as much yet, but I plan on doing a lot more like kind of college football coverage as this year goes on, dude. I love college football. Like, it's one of my favorite things.
It's unmatched, dude. There's nothing better than, and like for me now that like I'm always going to like the NIU game every week, I do have tickets to the North Carolina game. So I'm really excited that for that with Notre Dame, but like aside from going to a game, like every single week, no matter what, pretty much it's tradition. There's a game on all day. Like, NFL is good, but you know what you know. Be ready at noon. You'll be done with your NFL shift by, like, 10 o'clock. My ass was in a hotel watching Hawaii-San Jose State at, like, 2 in the morning on Sunday. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, college football always plays. It's a little different than, like, a random baseball game or a random basketball game. I don't know, man. College football always moves the needle for me. And a game like this on Saturday really, really moves the needle for both of us. And we'll have to come up with a friendly wager that doesn't involve kosher meat or hot dogs, because I'm just not doing that to myself again.
I've been trying to think about that. I don't know, bro. I mean, I could have you like eat like a wheel of cheese or something like that on a live stream. Just fucking be constipated for like a week.
Maybe crush a six pack in an hour, but that's violent.
Oh, man.
Like in 60 minutes, that'd be a beer every 10 minutes.
That would be brutal. I mean, at that point though, how do you stop after the hour? Like,
we'll come up with
we'll figure something
with a bet for the people, but yeah. give this guy a follow at that pod guy, Duke. Check us out on Bears on Tap. We record that weekly as well. And, you know, if you're going to the game, get out there early. Like, I'm pretty sure every major media outlet is doing their tailgate or, like, like PFF, Barstool, Fox, like, the big companies.
Fox is doing it for sure. Yeah. I know Barstool is going to be out there. Big Cat and Portnoy, I'm almost positive, are going to be out there. So that's going to be pretty big. I'm assuming White.
Yeah, I think they're doing like the college football show, I think, live from the Soldier Field Museum lot. So
yeah, I'm sure they'll have like, you know, some of the Barstool Chicago guys down there and whatnot too. They'll probably be Chief and all that shit. So I mean, yeah, it'll definitely be an
ass. We will not be there, but yeah, responsibly hammer the Notre Dame money line at Bet Rivers, still like +190. Be a team guy. I'm a team guy. Last year, Clemson week, I won $1,000 that day, and it was a Clemson Notre Dame victory that sealed it. So sometimes it pays to be a team guy. Sometimes it doesn't. But you know, always make sure to do it responsibly. And if you do it, do it over at Bet Rivers. Use promo code ONTAP to receive a $250 deposit match. We got nothing else for you guys. This game's going to kick off about 24 hours after you listen to this show. I got nothing else for you. You can follow me at BDon300, and you can follow our main account at OnTapIrish. But I got the Irish in upset, as we are the underdogs this week. Duke feels differently. Go ahead and give us a follow. And stay tuned next week, obviously, for the recap. We'll be back. Maybe if Duke has a little bit of spare time, we'll grab his thoughts on either a Notre Dame victory or a Wisconsin victory. So there's going to be one happy party and one unhappy party between the two of us, no matter which way you look at it, because it ain't soccer. There's no way they can tie.
Hell yeah, man. We'll definitely have to talk about it. But on Wisconsin, baby. Bring home the dub back to Madison.
Oh, no, I can't.
We got to have a game at Camp Randall one of these years, too. Like, because
it would just stadium that I want to check out. But
anytime, bro. Anytime.
I absolutely refuse to end the podcast on that bullish. But Irish by 1,000. If you don't like the money line, sprinkle to spread. Do what you got to do. Have fun watching this game. Embrace it. This is what college football is all about. And go